97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the upcoming Winter Olympics and the true measure of Olympic greatness. Our guest, Bonnie Blair Cruikshank, winner of 6 Olympic medals in speed skating, 5 of them gold. Bonnie is joining us from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Bonnie, you were at the trials this past week for the games coming in Pyeongchang. Of course, having been an Olympic speed skater, you have an interest. But this year, you had a special interest in the trials. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I sure did. My daughter actually qualified to participate in the trials. So that was a huge accomplishment for her. We were very excited for her. Feel it's kind of a stepping stone. She's 17 years old. Growing up really was a gymnast, wound up being a high-level gymnast, but then had to give it up due to chronic wrist issues kind of between 13 and 14 years old, and then was like, okay, well, I got to do something in the winter, so maybe I'll try speed skating. Anyway, it started, and she's really come a very long way, and you know, really a little over 3 years. When she first started, I mean, she would get out on the ice periodically, usually in hockey skates, and really couldn't do a crossover. So her progression that she's done in the short little over 3 years that she's been in it has been crazy fun for myself and her dad and for her as well. So very proud of her. It's a stepping stone. It's a learning process for her. We knew she was not going to make the team. That was not the goal. Was for her to maybe skate her fastest time there at the Pettit Center, which is where the races were. And she wound up doing that twice. So to us, that was steps in the right direction. And I think just being in the crowd and being in the mix of all that really cemented her idea that I want to keep doing this.
Yeah. So she's only 17. You skated at your first Olympics at age of 19. So actually she would be 21 the next time the Olympics rolls around. And I think that's her actual goal, is the 2022 games.
Correct. Yeah, that would be more her goal and the progression that we can kind of see her on. And, we know that there's things that can get better, and that's always a good thing, because then you know the times drop. So, it's a progression, and if you did follow our trials, this Aaron Jackson, who really is more of a newcomer to the sport, but yet had really grown up on inlining and roller derby. So she's kind of been on skates her whole life. But really, when you look at Blair, for her, she's really only about 3.5 years old on skates. So those are the things we're looking at. You know, for sure, I think genes has something to do with it, because she just gets a lot of it. But the turns right now are her challenge. But she's learning those, and we're taking our time with her. My husband's more so the coach. Dave Cruikshank, my husband.
Dave, who was also a skater. Yeah.
Also, made 4 Olympic teams in speed skating. And then another coworker of his, or really the two that are coaching her. I kind of call myself a silent bystander, but of course, as you can tell by my talkativeness, I'm never that quiet. But then usually try to talk to Dave or Leah about things instead of directly to her, so she doesn't get confused with too many things coming in and out of her ears, you know?
Yeah.
There's things she's going to learn, and we're not rushing it. We're really kind of more taking the time with her, because we don't want to develop bad habits. We want her to learn the right way. And we felt there really was no rush because you knew she wasn't going to make this Olympic team anyway. So let's take our time, really get her ready for 2022. And that's really the goal here.
Okay. So your maiden name is Blair. Your daughter's first name is Blair. So we'll try not to get those two things confused.
So, right. So and it's not Blair Blair. It would be Blair Cruikshank.
Right.
So, yeah. So maybe it does get a little confusing. I guess I never thought that when we decided to name her Blair, because I just always liked the name. I felt it was, you know, good and strong. And to go with something like Cruikshank, you needed something short for the first name. So,
yeah. So good choice there. Let's take you back, Bonnie, to age 19, Sarajevo. What are your memories of that first Olympics experience?
Yeah, just kind of like a kid in a candy store. My eyes were wide open. It was an unreal experience. You know, walking into opening ceremonies, like I got goosebumps. I was able to pick my mom and two sisters out of the stands. And, you know, I got tears in my eyes. I'm like, oh, my God, like, I'm at the Olympics. And raced there. I was actually eighth in the 500. That's the only race I participated in that Olympics. And if they would have had a video of it back then, you would have probably thought I won because I was so excited. to me, if I would have been somewhere close to the top 10, I would have really been ecstatic. And being eighth, I thought I won the medal. So, great memories from Sarajevo. Unfortunately, with what's happened in that country after the fact is very sad and disheartening, because I do have such great memories of being there and the countryside and the people and everything else. One of my other great memories of there was, you know, in the cafeterias where everybody would be, because everybody has to eat, right? And one day I got to eat lunch with Phil and Steve Mayer and Scott Hamilton, and I thought I had died and gone to heaven. they don't remember that lunch, but boy, I sure do. I've actually become good friends with all three of them as the years have gone on. And it's funny how what you can remember in some cases and other people forget. But, you know, that's okay, because that was a great memory in a kid's mind to take me even that much further through the Olympics.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Olympic speed skater Bonnie Blair. Bonnie, we were talking about your experience at the first Olympics, where you were eighth in the final. You went to three Olympics after that, won two medals per Olympics. And I think the thing that you're most noted for is that three-peat in the 500. What is your memory of those medals?
Oh, God. You know, I think they all really have their own unique memories to them. I think in Calgary, winning in world record time, my very first medal, really had a very strong power emotion behind it. I remember as I was about to get up onto the podium to receive my medal and look out into the audience, and my family was kind of all scattered about, and you know, my sister Angela was crying. My sister Susie, a big, huge grin on her face. I caught my brother Rob high-fiving his best friend. My other sister Mary, she's the loud, crazy one, yelling, screaming, going absolutely nutso. And then my mom's still looking scared to death. And I think looking at them and capturing those different emotions within the stands, I could say that that's exactly what it felt like to win an Olympic medal. And then I was lucky enough to do that five different times, or at least to be on the top podium. And, you know, there is nothing quite like it. But, you know, kind of glad for videos where you can kind of go back and relive it. Like I said, each one kind of had its own unique meaning to it. In Albertville, my first one there, I dedicated in my dad's memory, as he had passed away in 89. And he was kind of the backbone of our family and keeping us within the sport and taking us to practices and always being a timer at the finish line. And just gave us that opportunity to chase our goals. And then I think when I look at Lillehammer and my last win in the 1,000, you know, being up on that medal podium and hearing the national anthem, thinking, you know, I'll probably never hear the national anthem as it's being played right now. Because I knew I'd never have that opportunity again. I knew my Olympic career was over. And so, yet it was thrilling and exciting. It also kind of had a little sad moment to it because I knew it was the end.
Wow. So let's look at that sixth medal. And I think you'll figure out pretty quickly where I'm headed here. The bronze. What did the bronze mean?
Oh my God. It was like winning to me. because I knew that it was going to be a challenge to be above third in that race because Krista Rothenberger and Karen Kanya were so strong in that event. But you know, for me to get third, that was a good thing. And not only did I get third, but it was the fastest time I had ever skated. It was an American record, so no American had ever gone faster than that. So, you know, even though it was third and maybe, you know, disheartening for some people, to me that was like winning because, you know, I also look at things realistically and what are my real chances here? And for me, I knew my best chance at a medal at those games was going to be third in that race. And that's what I was able to come away with. You know, I look at my good buddy, Dan Jansen, who was up for the potential of two medals at that games and walked away with none and fell twice. So I know that, and I had skated after that. So I knew you can't ever bank on anything. So to be able to step up to the plate, skate faster than I ever had, set an American record and walk away with a bronze, that to me was just as gold as my other medals.
I think a quote that's attributed to you, and correct me if I butcher it, but it's winning is doing better than you've ever done before.
Correct. Yep. And you know, and that, like, I look at my fourth place in Calgary in the 1500, which was also an American record, and my fourth place at the Lillehammer Games in the 1500 and just missing a bronze by 3/100. Once again, an American record, the fastest I had ever gone. I mean, I can't be disappointed with that. I mean, sure, I'd probably be more excited if I would have got that bronze. But, you know, like I said before, I really have to look at things realistically and what's good for me and be happy and satisfied with goals and things I put in front of myself and know that I did everything I can to be the best that I could be. You know, maybe you won't get that personal best, but if you strive to be the best that you can be every time, I think that's a very big part of what it's really all about.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion with Olympic speed skater Bonnie Blair Cruikshank. Bonnie, we've mentioned that you won 5 golds and a bronze in the Olympics. And yet there's another Olympian who, despite doing extremely well, I wonder if Apollo Ono should be called the most successful U.S. Winter Olympian of all time. And the reason I wonder is because it's not just how many medals, but the color of the medals. And I've shared an article that I wrote for CNN with you, and you know that I think quality is important, as is quantity. So by my measure, you are the most successful U.S. Winter Olympian of all time. Are you willing to assume that mantle from me?
I will accept it and maybe, you know, put an asterisk by it. I guess, you know, one way I can look at it, you know, Apollo, you know, maybe sometimes looking at things from apples to oranges or whatever, and what Apollo did was awesome and great. And then some of Apollo's races are in relays. So then, you know, it wasn't just only by himself. And, you know, my races were just by myself. But now let's throw Eric Heiden in there. And what he did in one Olympics, really in 1 week's time, and winning 5 medals from the shortest to the longest, is truly an unbelievable feat that will really never happen again. I think somebody could come back and do what I've done, but to do what Eric has done, I don't believe that will ever happen again. So he won his in a week, and it took me 3 Olympics to win mine. So, you know, I think all of them are very unique in their own way, and very all well deserving. Like, you know, is it safe to say that you can put one in front of the other? And, you know, maybe you can, looking at it one way, but then maybe you look at it another way. Or, you know, oh, Apollo had help in his with relays, but yet what if something would have happened to one of his other teammates? Then he doesn't do as well. You know, I mean, there's so many ways to look at it. And I guess all I have to say is I'm very honored to be in the mix of greatness, and know that, I guess, after all these years, my name still being talked about is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, if you look on, do a Google search for Bonnie Blair, a couple of articles about your daughter will pop up. The third article that pops up is my piece, where I name you the most successful winter athlete for the U.S. of all time. Heiden, you're right, 5 gold medals at 1 Olympics. That perhaps no one ever matches that. My sense of things, and I'd like for you to weigh in on this, is that if you just count the number of medals, that tells you one thing, and that's how most U.S. outlets do it, U.S. Institutions, TV stations and networks and newspapers and stuff do it that way. Most of the rest of the world, they count gold only and consider bronze and silver only in case of a tie. I just don't think that makes a lot of sense. And this new system, if you will, and it's not like people haven't talked about this before, but of weighting the medals, what's your overall thought about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess to a certain extent, as far as the weighting of them goes, and I think you talked about it in your article, as far as, you know, the Olympic Committee and putting a dollar amount to them and kind of being able to give the athletes back a little bit of what they've lost over the years. And then that's only the ones that actually get medals. So, you know, yes, they're kind of weighted. And obviously they're weighted because they're gold, silver, or bronze just in the beginning. So, you know, yeah, I guess there's a lot of different ways to look at it. And I thank you for you putting me up on top. But I guess on my end, I guess a couple of things. Number one, I went out and I did what I loved and thoroughly enjoyed and was lucky enough to have success with it. Number two, there's sometimes where it's hard to compare apples to oranges. And like I said, what Eric did in a week was unbelievable. And then, you know, what Apollo did over time, and then, but it had relays in there. And then I'm like, well, God, what if I had relays? Could I have won more medals? Or, you know, like for instance, in speed skating now, they've got the mass start. Oh my God, I would have been all over that race. Because I can sit in for pretty good, but I've got a good kick at the end. And, you know, then they've also got the pursuit. And I think I could have hung in there for that and helped my teammates there. But, you know, it's all hindsight. So I guess what I look at is, you know, like I said a little earlier, I appreciate being in the mix of things. I appreciate being your number one. But like I said, I think we've got a lot of great people to talk about. And I think that's the good thing. We've got some great Olympians to throw in the mix for different reasons to try to look at it in a different light.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Bonnie Blair Cruikshank, in my opinion, the most successful U.S. Winter Olympian of all time. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.